All right.
So we're recording, and I'm going to play a little hip because the pre-show music is going to be the hip. I listen to a lot of the hip at the lake. You ever do that?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. Not a steady diet, not one after another after another.
No.
But I like to have it, you know, interspersed, if that's a word, in my playlists.
Yeah. Yeah, I got into some afternoon hip a couple times where, you know, three or four songs looking out at the lake. Okay, we're you do this. We're streaming live on Facebook in a couple seconds. The podcast has started. Of course, this is not the real podcast yet. It's the pre-show. Freddie?
Yes, Humble and Fred are back after a nice long holiday. Humble and Fred, the two old guys are back. Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians. Do your part. Get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine. This is paid for by the Government of Ontario.
This meeting is being live-streamed. Live-streamed. All right. I just turn off Facebook so I don't have to watch myself. There we go. Yeah, we don't have Phil today because he's training this week on his new job, which we're not allowed to mention. Although, I don't know. Would it be a gray area? Like, if he's not here, are we not allowed to talk about somebody that we know who works at a place? Is that the?
I was just thinking the same thing. I don't know. I mean, the very idea that we're not supposed to talk about it is sort of over the top.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
To me, it's the funniest thing about it.
Although, my wife got me onto this podcast. It's through Global, which is through Chorus. It's called China Rising, and there was Russia Rising as well. Maybe I mentioned this to you.
No.
It's called China Rising, and if you listen to that, part of me's thinking, geez, maybe Phil isn't as paranoid as I thought.
Oh, really?
It's just, you know how the Chinese control things around the world, even the lives of Chinese people in other countries, and I'm thinking, boy, Phil's paranoid when it comes to stuff like that. Maybe there's a reason for it.
Maybe Phil's a Chinese operative after all these years.
Yeah, like, I don't know, but it's an evil nation.
Sure. Sure it is. All right, the following episode, Humble and Fred, is brought to you by, this is what Phil normally does, Government of Ontario, Big Ass Fans, Bodog, T2 Utility, the Retirement Sherpa, the Chamber Plan, Health Gauge, and Gig Sky. Yeah. And we are, coming at you for the first time in, that was a bit of a break. I don't know when we haven't done a show in a week, 10 days, something.
Yeah. And you know what it is now, Howie?
I know.
What is it?
It's getting ready to be the end of summer, my brother.
Yeah, but what do we call that traditionally on the Humble and Fred Show?
What do we call what?
When our summer holidays are over and we're sliding into September.
Time to get serious.
Time to get serious, Howie.
Well, not. You I mean, won't. It's a little early for that, but sure, I'll go with you.
Well, why? Why? Like, our holidays are over. What are we going to just, you know, pull our puds here until September 1st? No.
We
must perform. We must perform.
I didn't think we had to start performing until after Labor Day.
Okay.
I thought that's when you. No, because you threw me there, because that's traditionally when you announced to me, Howie,
all right,
it's time to get serious.
Okay, that's premature serious then.
Listen, I'll get serious if you want to, but we've only got 3 days this week. 3 days next week because I've got a golf tournament next Tuesday.
All right, yes.
and then we'll get serious. Can I just tell you this? And I spoke to you at the cottage, I don't know, whatever, a couple days ago. And I'm going to say something, and everyone's going, yeah, yeah, we get it, Howard. But, you know, I didn't grow up in this environment. And when we were kids, you know, I took you through that lake that's near my mom and dad's place in Moose Jaw. But it's like 25 miles away. Very nice. But it's a very small lake. And we were not lake people like you. But in the 20 years since 2001, which is the first time I ever rented a cottage. And the reason I know that is because that was the year that you and I left the Edge and we got the big contract and I put in a pool.
Right.
Now, I know those things seem sort of opposed, but it was while we were waiting for the pool to get ready, we took the family up north for the first time. And I can tell you, in those 20 summers since, I just get it. You know, I mean, I've been up twice this summer. This was the longest time I've ever been up in terms of days in a row.
Yes.
And it's a pretty sweet life up there.
Yes.
I know. I don't have much to add to that. I know it's self-evident, but, you know, those are some pretty sweet days at the cottage.
And even though I've been doing it all my life and I've spent a lot of time up where I go this summer, your mind frame or your mindset, it's just different up there, right? You know the way you just sort of can veg out a lot easier in that environment? That's what I like about it. And it's almost like the minute you drive home and the minute you go back to your home, you start thinking about things that you hadn't been thinking about while you were up there.
Yeah. And it's different for you. I realize this. Like my friend, because I'll explain later, because I do want to report on, I know you were worried about my behavior around people. And, you know, but we'll get to that. Because for the most part, I was very well behaved.
Oh, the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. Right. But I have a friend who's got a cottage up there, and we stayed with him for a couple days. And it was great for me and great for Rachel, too. It was great for Steven, my friend. But as he was explaining, when he goes up every weekend, there's always stuff to do. And he loves that. But right. It's different when you rent a place. And I do want to thank, I'm going to send him a note, but Patrick Adair, it was his family's, I think it's his sister, Bonnie, who rented us her cottage. And so we had nothing to do. And I imagine for you and Dan and Darren and the friends that have places, there's a little more responsibility. A little more like, oh, we got to make sure that gets done. And
yes,
you know,
it's different levels. Where I am, it's pretty much turnkey. It's cutting the lawn, making sure that the a little tiny patch of grass and make sure the flowers are watered. But my buddy Darren, who you've seen his place, has a huge patch of land, and that's a whole other situation. When you have a cottage, it's like a second house.
Well, yeah, my friend Steven, who I refer to as Stinky, his place, you know, it's a cottagey cottage, meaning it doesn't look like it's a home from the city that was stuck on a lake,
right?
But it's a lot of grounds, it's very steep. It's got a huge lawn that he has to cut, flowers everywhere. He's got like a boathouse room, like an attic room, but it's the boathouse he's turned into like a cocktail where he has his TV. And but there's just so much stuff to take care of,
right?
That, you know, as he said, and again, he loves it, but it's not like me just jetting to Patrick Adair's sister's place for the week where I do nothing. You know, one day it rained and I had to rush around bringing the cushions in. And that was the most work I did all week.
Oh, don't get me on cushions, okay? All the patio furniture around our pool here, it's like Delise really fell in love with this set that needs cushions and she doesn't want to leave the cushions out in the rain.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There's so many of them. Like it's a big job to put them out, bigger job to bring them back in. Don't get me on. Never again will I buy anything like that. Oh, but let's move on. A lot of people give up their cottages because of that. You know, it becomes too much looking after two homes. you got to have a certain lifestyle and a certain attitude. You know, if you're the type of guy that doesn't like to do a lot of that stuff, then to double it is not fun.
Patrick's sister, Bonnie, who we rented the place from on 12 Mile Bay, which is a bay that feeds Georgian Bay. So it's between, it's probably between Gravenhurst and Parry Sound, sort of equidistant. Really nice, about 35 minutes from Port Carling, Bracebridge, etc. But it's, you know, so they're bigger cottages, but not the, you know, ostentatious Muskoka ones. There were a few on the lake that were, you know, I don't know if I say, did I send you the picture of the compound?
Yes.
Like, that thing's enormous. But Bonnie's place is really cool. It's a bunch of decks on different levels. And there would be a lot of work taking care of it. Again, you know, I'm there for 7 days. And really, my only work was remembering where I left my fake beer. And because if you forgot it in the kitchen and you were on the dock, you had to go all the way up to the kitchen. But, you know, for the most part, I didn't do anything. And I mean, as far as maintenance. But I really didn't do much day to day, to be honest with you. I read a book. And
did you
watched
find
the
a driving? Did you find a driving range?
Yep. Went a couple times. What?
No.
Well, you got to keep your golf muscles, you know, going. But I didn't play golf. I didn't go away for 7 hours. I'd heard Seth Rogen being interviewed on Stern before he left for the summer. Have you been listening to his show this summer at all?
Not really, no.
I only ask because this summer Stern's show has turned into a podcast, which is when I say that because he's usually so negative about podcasting. But basically all his show this year or this summer are interviews, and they're great. You know, so he did a week of movie stars, and it's Clooney and Robert Downey Jr. He did a week of musicians.
Replays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's off for the whole summer.
Yeah.
Again, irony. The ironic part is that it just sounds like a podcast. So one of the interviews he was doing, I think just before he broke, was Seth Rogen talking about this book he'd written, that Rogen had written. And then Charlie had it and lent it to me. And I'm going to lend it to you if you want it, because it's really good. Talks about his life in Vancouver, but it's not like a chronological story. It's just little vignettes from his life and then working with different people. And he tells some really good stories. And, you know, it's sometimes laugh out loud funny.
Well, I look forward to that.
So that was kind of my job every day. Where was I going to read my book?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do every day up there when your kids aren't there?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
You know, every day just sort of comes and goes, and I don't know. I might go out in my boat. I might just sit in the dock and look up the lake and veg. I might play a game of bocce. I might drive into town.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's just whatever. But being bored up there is a little bit different than being bored down here.
Because, I agree.
You know, because there's, you know, being bored down here seems to be endless because, you know, the non-cottage season, so to speak, is so long. So when I'm up there and I'm bored, I'm thinking, hey, don't be bored or just enjoy the moment because this is going to be over soon. And it really is in a matter of weeks. So, again, it gets back to what I said about your frame of mind. It's just it's so easy to slip into a vegetative state when you're in that environment. So you're not really conscious of being bored. Am I explaining this
properly? No, I couldn't agree with you more because I don't know. We slept in longer than I normally stay in bed. You know, I didn't even get out of bed some mornings. Like, I would go get coffee for Rachel and bring it back up. So we would hang out and, you know, read or whatever and leave. I didn't get going until 9:30. By the time breakfast is over and you're found, like, well, you know, if I was going to read, I kept doing this all day. Can you believe what time it is? You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden it's 3 p.m. We're having cocktails. I'm making her a drink. And like, it just seems to go by and I haven't done anything. I really enjoyed the fact that it was stinking hot every day. Like, I was in that water multiple times a day.
Yes.
And the water was the warmest, Fred, that I've ever experienced up there.
Yeah. No, I know. It's been something else. I got a little tired of it this weekend, to be honest with you. By yesterday, the heat and humidity here in the city. I'm at home right now.
Yeah.
I found it a bit much yesterday. In fact, I spent more time inside yesterday than I have in a long time, only because it wears on you.
Yeah,
and the thing is that when you're up north, too, and even my pool here, when you're in the water all the time, you start to get that waterlogged feeling.
Yeah.
Which I don't like that feeling either. So listen, first world problems.
No, I know.
To use that phrase that people overuse, first world problems, but no, that's the way it is.
I think it's so overused, I don't even use it anymore.
Yeah, right. I shouldn't either.
No, you should.
Take that back.
No, you do whatever you want. I went out and practiced yesterday afternoon to get ready for this tournament I'm playing in today. And I was out in the atmosphere for about 2 hours. And I was thinking about what you said. I was starting to get a bit woozy. And I was drinking water constantly. You know, if you're having, you know, air circulation issues, we say, for better air circulation comfort and peace of mind, check out Big Ass Fans. BigAssFans.ca. Big Ass Fans are the fans you want in your life. Visit BigAssFans.ca. Mention Humble and Fred. Receive a special fan discount. And stop dying of heat this summer. For whisper quiet operation, ultimate airflow, and increased peace of mind, visit BigAssFans.ca. And don't forget to check out Clean Air System as well. Clean Air System from Big Ass Fans combines proven UV-C and ion technology with their industry-leading airflow products, resulting in peace of mind for your patrons, staff, and family. Where do you go, Fred? You go to BigAssFans.ca.
Hey, and where do you go if you have, you know, your retirement on your mind? A lot of people do. Regardless of your age, you got to think to the future, your golden years. And the man to talk to is the retirement Sherpa. Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim will have a look at your existing portfolio, if you have one, give his opinion. No strings attached, no obligation. He'll have a look, give his assessment. If you want to come over to the Tim side, hey, he will accommodate you, but he'll also tell you if you're in good shape. He's that kind of guy. A lot of Humble and Fred listeners have, become part of the Sherpa team, so to speak, and the results have been fantastic. He's the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca.
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. You know, while we're stopped here, I think we should, I don't know. Now we got some time. Noel Castler's our guest today. Get him pop in for a little Trump fun. Donald Trump had a rally on the weekend where he was booed, Fred. Booed. Booed him. Why? Well, because he said they should get vaccinated. And this country, that country, they booed him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we like, can
how
wait.
How do you keep up? It's like he helped create the sort of COVID resistance. But he was a proponent of the vaccine because he is in his mind, and to some extent, he's right. He helped expedite the development of the vaccine. So
Operation Warp Speed.
So he wants to take credit for that. So, of course, he's got to endorse the vaccine. Yet he was also the guy in the early stages downplaying it. So he sort of created a weird situation for himself.
I'd say. You know, and I was going to let's save a lot of that for when Noel gets here, because there's going to be lots of it. Cases are rising again here in Canada.
Yeah. And did you see that guy? I forget his name off the top. A scientist left the Ontario science table yesterday because he says there's too much political involvement, and which I guess is sort of accusing the Ford government of maybe downplaying or withholding information.
Yeah,
that the public should know, which is a bit disturbing. But other scientists on the table have come out and said, well, you know, there's really not that much. They're not quite sure what he's talking about. However, they're saying maybe within a couple of weeks or we could be at 1,300 a day.
Well, in Canada, we're back up over 4,800 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Ontario was, I think, on the weekend, 700-ish cases. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had a lot of discussions about this off and on during the week off. You know, in the spring, and I was sort of, at the time, I thought being facetious, but I was like, I'm not ready to celebrate this because, you know, who knows? You know, last year we thought we were out of the woods, etc. But I really didn't think seriously of a fourth wave or whatever wave this is. But I think now we're in it. A wave bigger than what we're seeing, you know, in Ontario where we live. I think it's inevitable. What I don't know, and I throw it back to you, I'm interested in what you have to say about this. I don't know if we're going to get locked down. And the second part of the question is, could we withstand another lockdown? And then I have some thoughts. I will follow up. What do you think?
The thought of another lockdown makes me want to cry, to be honest. I get this horrible feeling. You know, again, Howard, it's all about hospitalizations. I mean, they're up slightly, but not to the degree of the rise in cases. So it all gets back to the vaccine. If everyone was vaccinated, yes, there would be cases, but it probably wouldn't be at a hospitalization issue. Not to pretend that double vaxxed people aren't getting it and having to go to the hospital, but those numbers are just so minute. Could we withstand another lockdown? I say no, and I don't, and I think that's why it will not happen.
Yeah.
They've got to work around it somehow. You just cannot do that again. Like, you simply cannot do that.
Well, I agree, but, you know, and I don't, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that you might have to, but.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, here's the question I wanted to ask, and I sort of brought this up with Rachel. You know, I spoke to Rachel quite a bit for 10 days. I think Rachel was, you know, she's like, okay, enough of you already.
I'd say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be a lot.
I got things. Yeah, you have things to say. You know, and she's your sounding board. I go through the same thing.
Does Doll ever do this? One night before, in between friends coming, it was just Rachel and I for like 5 nights. And, you know, when I'm the only one you're talking to all day, it's a lot of talking. So at one point, we were sitting there and I was saying something about the sunset. And she just went, you know, just shush, just shushy time now.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm looking at it. I don't need you giving me the play-by-play. Mm-hmm. Basically.
Yeah. Well, but you know, the kind of play-by-play you and I do, you know, it's like, oh, did you see how when it goes over there by the horizon and then it comes over here and then the lights.
Our friend Dan Duran has this thing. When there's a good sunset, he walks down towards a stalk screaming, Fireball Sunset!
What's he says? What?
Fireball Sunset!
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and then we're all supposed to, like sheep, run down to our docks and
wait a minute.
Look at the sunset.
He yells, Fireball Sunset! Yes. Does he really?
Yes.
Interesting.
And this is to alert everyone that there is a sunset worth seeing. You know, I'm sorry, I'm sort of weird on the sunset. You know, honestly, once you've seen one, you've pretty much seen them all, basically. No, so,
well, we had a tradition after dinner, you know, and we would go down to the dock. And the nice thing about where we were is it's this bay, which looks sort of west to Georgian Bay. It's 12 miles away.
Nice. Yeah.
So the sun's it's setting over the trees and etc. Yeah. So then one night I was all talking about the sunset and finally she had just had enough of me. She's like, I just need to sit here and just listen and watch.
Anyway, I get that.
Oh yeah. But while we were talking during the day, this is what I said about the wave. I said, the thing is, we may have to lock down again, but the pushback is going to come from so many different places, not the least of which those businesses, movie theaters, gyms, restaurants, everybody that has opened up, you know, to whatever level we're open now, they're not going to want to shut down. What they're going to do, this was my theory, again, interested to hear what you have to say. What those businesses are going to want to do is then, you know, show me vaccination or get the fuck away from my business.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's happening now.
Well, but I'm going to say it's happening now. But if there were a lockdown of some kind, then that's the push. If the government floats that as an idea, right, that's going to be huge. That yeah. pushback.
No, I know. I mean, we've got to get there. I mean, the Blue Jays have just announced. What bothers me about it is that, well, it doesn't bother me, but there's the vaccine passport, and those who don't want to be vaxxed, if they can prove that they've tested negative in the previous 48 hours, they would still be allowed into these events. Yeah. I mean, that's really going to hold things up at the gate, don't you think?
Well, yeah.
If you had a passport that had a little, you know, whatever you call those things where you could just swipe it or whatever or show it quickly. But now here's my thing that I was vaccinated with or I was tested within the last 48 hours is really going to hold things up. But I guess from a freedom of choice standpoint that they got to do that. But that's where we've got to go there, whether you like it or not. To avoid lockdowns or circumvent lockdowns by that type of proof for safety.
Well, and as I said to Rachel when we were, I was still allowed to talk that day before sunset. I just said that they won't be able to lock down the way we did. The difference between a year ago when the wave came back again in the fall, the difference is we were all in a similar situation. None of us were vaccinated, so we all had to lock down. Stay right. socially distant, wear masks, stay away. I mean, you know, I had Christmas last year with my two kids, ex-wife, in a garage because the girls didn't want to come near us, you know, that thing. But yes, that was that last thing. Fall. This year, at this point, on the 24th of August, Canada has now fully vaccinated 74.26% of the country's eligible population. So that's a pretty sizable number of people that don't give a shit. If you haven't got vaccinated, you can't go inside that store. So yes. whatever. And I got to tell you, I'm about to read you a tweet. I won't tell you who it's from. So I was retweeting something about another PGA Tour player. Pretty famous guy, Patrick Reed, has come down with COVID and is having a terrible time of it. Pneumonia, you know, who knows if this guy could possibly not make it. And I say, well, you know, the whole story is, well, why isn't this? He played the Olympics, then he played an event in Europe, and now he's back in the States. And what do you know? He gets COVID. So I'm like, well, you know, just get vaccinated. And somebody we know, he gives me a little tweet. It's an outdoor sport. Why would they need to be vaccinated? Mm-hmm. It's the barter guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know what to say to him. What are you, a moron?
Well, I mean, yes, he is.
But what do you mean? What do you mean it's an outdoor sport? You don't think they ever go inside planes and buildings and they're with people all the time? In fact, because they all travel as a big unit, hundreds of people, not just players, you'd think they'd have, like, I think I said this to you. And again, interested to hear what your thoughts are. How is it you can have a major league team that's owned by people that's not vaccinated is beyond me. Your thoughts?
No, I agree. That guy, by the way, he is just, I can't believe how a businessman can make such a fool of himself in public. It's crazy. He actually posts stuff that actually is discounted or, you know, it has the banner that says this is wrong information and leaves it up. Like, and I think a lot of these people, they've fallen in that hole so far that rather than crawl out of it, they're doubling down. But there's a lot of that going on. Again, what was your original question?
Well, I had a lot of questions in there, but we'll see without Phil here. This is like,
no, you said a lot of things, and then you asked me a question, and then I had that thought, and I can't. Now I'm trying to go back to what your original.
This is like a preview of what the show is going to be like once we're in a nursing home. No, I was
on that point.
Yeah, go ahead.
I read a story here this morning. There's a woman in Toronto owns three restaurants, and she was sort of public about. Really, she said, you know, I would like to see a vaccine passport. It would really help restaurateurs because there are people a little freaked out, still don't want to come into restaurants, maybe because they don't know who they're going to be sitting beside and all that. So a passport would probably work for us. Well, that information fell into the wrong hands, and now her three restaurants are being attacked. So she has these patios outside. So these anti-vaxxers
come with
pots and pans,
yeah.
And they just stand there and bang the pots and pans and scream the stuff about passports to disrupt the dining experience of those patrons. And it's really screwing things up for. And there's not a lot the cops can do. They stand there, but you know, because this is such a free country, that there's not a lot the cops could do. And it's just a sad statement, you know, and it gets back to what we said all along. If you choose not to get the vaccine, that's great. You've chosen not to get the vaccine. You've also chosen that you're not going to be able to do certain things.
Yeah.
So live with it rather than wanting it all your way.
You know, I did see that story just briefly, I guess yesterday, maybe the day before, but whatever. I saw it. And my thoughts are, you know, here's somebody just trying to make a living, you know, employ people and get back into business after all this disruption that we've had for 20 months or whatever it's been. That's one part of it. Where you get the energy. Like, here's the thing. I'm obviously pro-vax. So are you. So are most of the people we know. I'm not militant about it. I'm not going where anti-vax people are. I'm not going to their homes and banging pots and saying, get vaccinated, you dumb fuckers. You know what I mean? Like, What is the point of these people disrupting this person's business?
You know, as you said earlier, we're at 74.2%. Yeah. You said that's a huge segment of the population that, you know, isn't doing their part, basically.
Yeah.
It's all also giving us a pretty good read on how many disturbed people there are in the province, because a good segment of that almost 26% that aren't vaccinated, if you had a conversation with them, you'd come away going, holy cow, there's a whack job. Really, you would.
Yeah.
And you know, this, you know, the guy we're talking about, who's making a fool of himself, I mean, you get mad because he'll readily post misinformation, and that's a big part of it too. Though that 26%, so much of them have been ingesting this misinformation and gladly doing it, and spreading it around. So as you say, it's one thing to be an anti-vaxxer, it's another thing to actually be militant and actually hurt people is what you're doing.
And it's sort of like our, you know, I think we now can lay ownership to co-authoring this thought. But I, you know, I've been saying for some time, and you've said it recently, that when it comes to climate change, why don't we do some things to mitigate the damage? Because, okay, if you don't think climate change is real, fine. But if you're wrong, we're fucked. If you're an anti-vaxxer, you don't think that people should get vaccinated, but they are, and the numbers dropped, and there's all this proof that, you know, the only people really getting COVID right now, you want to talk about another sign of the times, are unvaccinated people. And when they talk about breakthrough vaccine, of course, in every vaccination ever, polio, rubella, name one, there was always breakthrough infection, but it's such a small point. My point is, what do you gain for being an anti-vaxxer? That is one level is posting stupidity on social media to the point where you'll bang pots in front of somebody's restaurant because they would like people to come there who are vaccinated to keep everyone safe from getting a disease. You tell me.
Because there's something wrong with you.
Because there's something wrong with you.
but, there's something. Listen.
But what do you gain? But what do you gain from that point of view?
Yeah, but that's not even the point. The thing is, they gain nothing. They gain nothing. But in their mind, they do, I guess. You know, it gets back to that W5 thing. Most of the people that are anti-vaxxers have it's an underlying issue.
Sure.
This is how it's manifesting itself. Not everybody. And listen, this society, you can never, when they talk about mandating vaccines, I don't think we're anywhere close to mandating vaccines. It's your choice. It's great. Don't get a vaccine, but just live with the consequences. That's all anyone is saying.
Okay, excuse my stupidity. Why did they mandate vaccines in, you know, in Howie and Freddie's, you know, youth, where you couldn't go to school without those booster shots? You know that card somebody put online the other day with all the vaccines that you had to have to go to public school?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just pause here for a second, tell you about Bodog, if I may. I've been a little out of the loop there, Fred, as far as the Toronto Blue Jays have gone. I didn't even watch any golf. But the Blue Jays are back in action against Philadelphia.
No.
So I got the Philadelphia Phillies here, 7:05. No, I'm sorry. I apologize. White Sox.
Yes, Howard.
I was looking at the wrong game.
Big game last night. Very fun to watch.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Are they still a ball team to win?
No, they've been struggling horribly lately, but last night they won a game in a fashion that they have not been winning games lately. Their bullpen actually worked.
I was going to say, well, yeah, from pitching, because hitting has not been an issue. Check in and see what's happening with the Bodog odds. Bodog.eu, Jays and White Sox. White Sox on the run line are plus 1.5 and 105 to win. The over-under, if you're betting, both are over-under 9.0, paying minus 110. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker, or casino playa, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook. They've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. I'll go check out the odds where I do it, bodog.eu/sports.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Gigs Guy, you know, if you plan on traveling in the near future, you know, things are opening up to some extent, maybe not the United States ground border, but there's a lot of other places to go, whether you're off to the tropics, going to Europe, or just plan a trip, you know, down south somewhere. You'll need mobile data, a provider to keep you connected while you're there. Download the Gig Sky app for Android or iOS. Get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries using your phone's eSIM. It's the easiest, most affordable, and convenient way to stay connected internationally. You know, directions, a restaurant, any of that stuff that you need while you're away, it's right there in your hand. All Gig Sky data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Download the Gig Sky app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsky.com for more info.
Yeah, it's back to the idea, and I can't remember what the original question I asked you, but, you know, one of the things, and, you know, I getting way back to the way of the cottage life affected me, and I'll be honest, it sometimes takes me a few days to kind of, you know, I don't buzz at the level I once did, but I definitely have a bit of a vibration, and by the time, sometime Monday afternoon, I'd been 3 days on a dock, and I couldn't have had a nicer time. You know, as you pointed out before I went, you know, I'm not used to kind of, I don't have the experience of going to people's places and staying over as much as, you know, some people do. Right. And, you know, and so I'm learning that. But I can tell you, I maybe not get into it now because Noel's about to join us. But it takes a few days to come to that point where you're really enjoying not doing anything.
Yes.
And then the re-entry yesterday, because that's the longest continual. We were at a lake from Saturday to Monday afternoon, and it was Can we get down? You certainly get, as soon as you're south of the four, as soon as you're south of Barrie, you're like, okay, here we are. We're back.
Howard, I don't have time for it now, but maybe sometime over the next couple of days I could tell the story. It's the same thing. I came back. We had the kids this weekend at the house, my grandchildren. And you want to talk about being back in the jungle? Oh, maybe I shouldn't have used that word. The rat race. Here in Brampton, I went out to get the kids McDonald's on Saturday night. I left at 5:30 or 5:20 and got home at 7 o'clock. That's quite the story.
When did you go to McDonald's in Ohio or something? Where did you go?
It was Saturday afternoon in Brampton on a hot afternoon when I guess nobody wanted to cook. And anyway, it's a lot. It's quite the story.
Okay. Well, let's save that.
I had to go to four different locations.
McDonald's ran out of burgers?
Oh, various things.
Okay. And I'm putting it down for tomorrow.
And again, talk about the evolution as people. I just came home and I didn't say a lot. I just sat in a chair. I had lost my appetite and I just sat in a chair and looked straight ahead for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
Without saying anything rather than, you know, flying off the handle and claiming that I would never go to McDonald's again or we're selling the house, that type of thing. I didn't do any of that.
Hey, Noel, hang on. I just want to say one more thing. So let me get this straight. You have your grandkids there. You just throw them the food yes. and then just stare at the wall for 20 minutes?
Yeah. Well, basically is what I did.
Yeah. That'll be a story. That'll be one of those stories. Oh, yeah. The one time granddad went to McDonald's and he never spoke again. All right. Noel Kassler's here. Pretty much one of our favorite guests. He, you know who he is. He worked on The Apprentice. Blah, blah, Trump. Shit his pants. Blah, blah, blah. Kassler's going out on tour. You can see him in Annapolis, Maryland on September 16th in Norwalk, is that right?
Norwalk, yes,
Norwalk.
Sir.
Norwalk, Connecticut on November 18th. Are you doing full shows or just question and answer? I think I asked you this, but I'm asking it again for a reason.
No, yeah, I'm doing about an hour of a full show.
Like some stand-up, some question and answer, some stuff from your Twitter feed, etc.
Exactly, because everybody who's coming to see me is somebody who follows me on Twitter. Right. And they want to talk about the stuff, so it's a chance for them to ask me stuff they can't ask me online and things like that. Because anything goes. I will tell you anything I know if you come out.
When I first encountered you, I went on and I looked at some of your stand-up. I'm older than you, but we're still older than most of the comics we work with, and I saw your act. It's very good. The reason I ask is, you know, we're at August now, September, and I've got a gig, like a grown-up gig for money, the first week of December. Normally in a typical year, I start going back into clubs sort of late September. I'll start doing sets October, November, and by the time December comes, I'm sort of, you know, a little bit comfortable again. My question is, first of all, do you do that? And if you do, like me, how many sets or how many times up before you start feeling comfortable again?
Well, like you, normally in normal times, that's what I would do. I'd be in the clubs and I would say it would take a month or two. You know, you would do it in chunks and to work up to an hour, you know, you'd take a while. This is unlike anything I've ever done before because I'm going in there cold. You know, I'm not in the clubs now in New York. We're sort of the Delta's flying around like my shows. People are going to be vaxxed and masked and stuff. But I decided like I'm not going back into clubs. Not right now. You know, mm-hmm. I want to do these specific shows, but I didn't want to sort of be hanging out in the club all night, you know, watching 10 other comics. Not that I don't like it. I'm staying out of that scene.
And to be fair to people that know I'm with Yuck Yucks, which might be two people, but Yuck Yucks is back open, limited capacity. I don't know off the top of my head if they still have the plexiglass shields that they had up when they opened again last summer and then had to close down. But I'll just finish by saying I need at least three or four times, maybe more, not to remember the material so much, just to get up and do it. It's just because the longer you don't do it, I don't know about you, the longer you don't go there and put yourself under that situation, the easier it is not to do it.
Absolutely, Howard. And I'm going to be honest with you. I've never freaked out about a show like I am about the one coming up. I'm looking forward to it, you know, and what I'm trying to focus on is I really want to say what I want to say, you know, and the material I believe in, and I think it's funny and I think it needs to be said. So that part's going to be great. But no, I feel like I've never done it before, to be honest with you. It's a countdown to terror, you know?
It's a very disposable skill. And I'm just going to finish by saying, like, when I mention those dates, September 16th, like, if it were me, I always get this little, like, oh, yeah, that's coming. that day's coming soon.
You nailed it. I wake up, my eyes open in the morning. I have about a moment of peace. And then I'm like, oh, my God, it's August 24th.
That's right. How many more sleeps before I have to do an hour?
Exactly. And I'm working on it all day and night. You know, I'm literally just running it as if I was in a play or something, just all printed out, running it, revising it, you know. But I was away, too. I was on vacation for 3 weeks, so I really got to focus on it. I was out at the beach.
Oh, yes. I was going to say, where does Noel Kasler vacation?
I was in Nantucket, and then I went to Cape Cod, and then I went to Hamptons. And, you know, the best, you know, kind of like a Nova Scotia vibe, you know, that same coastline, which I love. I love rugged beaches, New England beaches. And I saw, you guys will like this, I saw a great white shark eat a seal in front of me on the tip of Cape Cod in like 3 feet of water.
Was that one of those was that one of those Trump sharks wearing diapers?
Well, that's what I want to say. Like, this shark eats literally eats a seal. There's a big blood stain. Like, the lifeguards freak out and blow the whistles because they don't know it's a seal right away. You know what I mean? Like, they just know it's eating something. So they tell everybody to get out of the water. And guess what? Everybody gets out of the water. Right? Nobody was like, hey, my freedom. I have the right to be.
That's right.
You know, they were turning into Jesus walking on the water to get out of there.
That's awesome.
You know, right? In public safety. They listened, you know?
I've been to Cape Cod. Fantastic. Nantucket, no. But when you're in Nantucket, is everybody giving those Nantucket rhymes like there once was a man from Nantucket? Like,
the old day.
Is that over the
top?
That's
how they speak.
Everywhere you go, like what?
They like do. Howard said, that's how you speak to each other.
Like, if you want coffee, you say, in Nantucket, you say, hey, I'm a guy in Nantucket whose coffee is supply... is so fuck it. Everything rhymes with fuck it, by the way.
Yes.
By the way, Cole, I don't know if that's a bit of yours, but that is really funny because I've said this recently about, like, what do they have to, the way Ontario, the way Ontario is promoting vaccine, getting people getting vaccinated, you know, is very measured and it's, you know, very government, you know, they're just encouraging everyone. But I said to my girlfriend a couple weeks ago, I said, they need to step it up. They need to have the equivalent of a shark eating a fucking seal on TV. They need to have the guy come on and go for like a couple seconds on a ventilator so that we all go, whoa, 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 I don't want that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's a great point, you know?
I don't know the guy's name either. It was a right-wing radio talk show host died last week. Yeah. He was a guy that was going on mouthing off about the vaccines and COVID. And it's anyway, he gets COVID and he dies. We need much more of that.
Absolutely.
We need high-profile anti-vaxxers to get it and die. I'm sorry, but that's what we need.
Well, it's not only funny, but Noel, so I said to Fred, too, I said, the only thing left for these anti-vaxxers, on a serious note, is to either know someone close to them that gets sick and dies. Because it seems there's lots of stories like the one you just said, Freddie. A lot of stories of people who sort of at the end kind of go, oh, shit, they're dying of COVID. And now they're texting their friends saying, you know what? I was wrong. But here in Canada, Noel, we've got 75%-ish of our population, eligible population, fully vaccinated. 75%, and yet still we have some fucking stumble bums. What's happening with you kids?
We're at the same kind of weird impasse we've been at. We still have the protests. We still have, you know, 30% of the country refusing to get vaccinated. They're only getting more militant about it, which is just insane. Like you mentioned, this guy's in Nashville who died, this right-wing DJ, you know, he was not only not into the vax, he was spreading don't get vaccinated information. And I would say the apex of that experience is down in Florida, where you have Governor DeSantis, who basically told people not to get vaccinated, not to wear masks, but instead to get Regeneron, which is a treatment that his largest donor owns stock in, the company that manufactures, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't give out the vaccinations to people, but now he's giving out a treatment that costs $1,200 a shot, you know, and that the government's paying him back for. So he set up these like Regeneron clinics in public libraries, and people who didn't get vaxxed are showing up sick with COVID, crawling on the floor, moaning and crying to get a treatment that it's almost too late for them now. You know, you don't want that when you can't walk anymore. So it's turned into an industry. You know, the anti-vax stuff is an industry in this country.
Sure
they're is. Doubling down. Hey, look, we saw this weekend, you know, I'd hate to mention his name, but Trump had a rally on Saturday night in Alabama that leads the nation in COVID cases, right? There's no ICU beds in the whole state. He told people to get the vaccine and they booed him.
Yeah, we had that story. They booed him, which is a weird, as Freddie said, it's kind of a weird circle of, you know, he created the problem of the mindset of anti-vax, and now he's telling them to get vax. He got booed. Jesus.
You want to talk about it being a business. Read an article this weekend about Fox News, you know, the news network, or the so-called news network for imbeciles. You know, they have all their stars going on there, not necessarily being anti-vaxxers, but questioning everything and talking about your rights and masks shouldn't be mandated. Do you know inside Fox? You can't go in a control room without a mask on.
I know.
Their rules for their COVID rules are as strict as anyone else's.
Of course. So
looking after their employees, but spewing all this garbage to harm their viewers. It's something else.
Absolutely. It's cynical. You know, you think Rupert Murdoch isn't masked? You are
more vaccinated.
You think the crew on his mega yacht is not vaccinated? You know what I mean? Like the chick who serves him his grapes when he lays back on a couch and stuff.
That's right.
Right.
You don't think the guy with the fan, he's vaccinated and wearing a mask.
Exactly. You know, and I got friends who work at Fox News. You know, they hate it. I got friends that are legit reporters that work there that came over from the local network, because Fox used to be real news at a local level.
It's
like Fox 5 in your town. So somebody got kicked up to the corporate level and he's a national guy now and he hates it. He's like, no, these guys are insane. Apparently, a lot of the people behind the scenes, the producers, know they're all nuts, but the inmates run the asylum, Sean Hannity's, the Tucker Carlson, and they're making all the money. So,
if I may, too, if anyone needs, and I know all the networks in the United States and in Canada, they all have their problems, they all have their issues,
biases.
They all have, you know, really, they do. Nobody's perfect. But if you want to compare networks as far as giving the straight goods or being somewhat honest with their audience, this whole Afghanistan thing, CNN covered with shots at Biden, questioning, you know, his position, what he did, criticizing him, being sort of fair. You go over on Fox, of course, they're hammering Biden, but they would never, ever, ever question anything Donald Trump did, ever. Would they question it or post an argument anti-Trump? But CNN, they're right up the middle on this. I'm telling you, it's all you need to know about who's delivering what.
Well, listen, on the night of the election, Bill Hammer at 20 minutes after 11 on the say-so of Rupert Murdoch called the election against Trump. That was the only act of defiance those pricks did in 4 years. And Trump still hasn't forgiven him. Mm-hmm. He's still talking about it. The fact that, I mean, your day-to-day life in New York is probably very similar, Noel, to what it's like here in Toronto. I mean, in terms of restaurants and masking and people being pretty cool about it. And so, yeah, we're not in the heartland of the A states and, you know, we're not around a lot of people protesting, but we have it up here. There's a resistance here. I'm just wondering what your thoughts, Noel, are on a possible wave. Another possible lockdown. Where would it? What, like, how open is New York, and how open are they going to stay if this variant continues to ravage the city?
It's a very good question, you know, and I'll be nervous. I'm nervous about it, to be quite honest with you. We've started to implement mask vaccine mandates, like in the public schools and all that kind of stuff. I think things kind of got. it ended overnight in a way where it shouldn't have. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody went from wearing masks like up until the end of June. And then all of a sudden in July, like nobody has a mask on. We're all just 100 people in a deli. You know, 20 square feet. And I'm like, what happened? We just spent a year and a half hiding in our basements from a deadly disease. And now like the dude's like got, you know, get handing you your bagel with no
right.
mask. You know? So like, I think we are, it's true. And I'm like, this is nuts. Example, I was on Nantucket. When I went there, you know, we took a ferry over there and nobody, you know, had to wear a mask on the ferry, but you get off right. the island, no one's wearing masks. During the time I was there, it flared up again. Mm-hmm. And all the stores went back into, you have to wear a mask to come in here. So to answer your question, I think it would be pertinent to, you know, institute social distancing and wearing masks again. And I think the big events are crazy. I don't think you need 20,000 people in Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. You know, right now. I don't, and I know yeah. I'm in that business, but it's fair, you know.
There once was a man from Nantucket. When it came to a mask, he said, fuck it.
Yeah. Yeah. See? All day long.
Exactly.
I'm very cheesy, Noel, so just so you know.
You know, he's not cheesy. He's not cheesy. He's taken cheesy to an art form. I like that. I've been to Cape Cod. Took my kids there a few years mm-hmm. ago. You're right, Cole. Cole. I keep calling you Cole.
Fuck, I like wrong. Cole. Cole makes
anyway,
me feel
Cole. Right. So yeah. our Gig Sky guest of the day, Fred, is Cole Kassler.
Where does that come from?
I don't fucking know. I've been off for 10 days.
Okay.
But Noel, you're right. That coastline up there is a bit, it is mm-hmm. beautiful. And again, it's kind of a part of the States, very similar. If you have sort of a similar feel to Canada, it's a little more liberal, a little bit more. You know, Maine and Vermont are the most vaccinated states. Most of those states in the Northeast. And then what I feel bad for is all those people that are getting COVID and dying who are still not thinking it's COVID and are still saying my rights, my rights, my rights. But you're too young maybe to remember. But Fred and I, when we went to school, there was a vaccination mandate. How that's not adopted now in both of our countries is beyond me.
Absolutely. I got my, you know, my TV, whatever that
yeah.
that thing mm-hmm. get the circle.
But the booster?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and back then they used to just give you shots. They didn't ask for permission.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I was reading a thing last night, a guy who's 68. He said, when I was in school, they gave us the polio vaccine on a sugar cube. Right. And they just mm-hmm. lined up the students and gave it to them. They weren't asking their parents for permission. And that's the politicization of this thing
yeah.
is that, you know, this Facebook and all this disinformation got people to believe like it's somehow, you know, messing with your body to get yeah. vaccinated. First of all, you're eating a McRib sandwich and drinking milk.
That's right.
Don't tell me you're worried about what you're putting in your body or side effects when you got a neck tattoo that yeah. somebody spent 6 hours drawing.
Right.
You know, but it's seen as this freedom thing. They've married it with like the NRA gun rights thing,
yeah.
where it's an identifiable thing for people. And there's cases of people like going off on the doctors when they tell them they have COVID.
Yeah.
Like, spitting in their faces and stuff.
I want to ask you a question because I'm thinking of spending the month of February in California doing the show, hanging out there in Palm Springs.
Wow.
If it's going to be great. But I'm already thinking, like, if I'm walking around with a mask on indoors, is that going to stand out?
No, I don't think by then, unless we sort of eradicate it, I think you'd be one of the cool people. They'd say, this guy's smart. Look, wearing a mask shows you care about other people, right? You're not wearing a mask so much to protect yourself. You're wearing it to protect other people and the vulnerable in our yeah. population. That's a baller move. You know, that's
I don't know
like,
about that. I'm also wearing a mask to find out how bad my breath stinks. Because I don't know about you, but when I first put it on, I'm like, Jesus,
Howard,
see a doctor.
Here's, and Noel, tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's very regional in the United States, too. I think in Palm Springs, California, I think you'll probably see a lot of people with masks on. It's just a mindset of the yeah. people that frequent those places where you could go, you know, somewhere in Alabama and they might look at you like you're an asshole.
Oh, they'll start a fight with you.
Yeah.
Palm Springs is an extension. It's, you know, it's a wealthy like
right, mm-hmm. okay.
area for LA. It's
I figured as much.
Yeah.
Your Howard, your brother, Stephen, just sent us a thing. Here's how crazy and mixed up this is. Now, restaurant owners in New York City, they plan to sue the city over the vaccine passport. So here we are talking in Toronto, where the restaurateurs are actually asking for the passport. They think it will help them. Now in New York City, they think the passports are hurting them, the restaurateurs.
Right. What?
So what's, yeah, what's the answer? Well, they think it's affecting business by having to ask for a passport.
Okay.
You're keeping out the irresponsible people. You should be asking to answer Howard's earlier question. We have to do that. You should be showing that. My friends just did a concert on Saturday. It got canceled in Central Park, but it was like 50,000 people. Springsteen, all these guys were there, and you had to show a passport to get in. You know, I went to see Judy Gold in Provincetown. We had to show a passport to get in, a vax passport. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
You definitely should show one to get into a restaurant or a club. Like that just, that I has agree. To be a mandate all across this country.
And I've said this now in different ways, Noel, but I'll say it, of the things that I still find surprising, like I understand pushback about restaurants and concerts and everyday life. What I can't believe, and this is in the States, some in Canada, healthcare workers pushing back against being vaccinated. You would think that would be table stakes to work with sick people.
Understood.
Fucking mind-blowing is that?
I understand it. And look, I'm glad you said that, because that's the thing that's been stuck in my craw. I saw on Facebook like a nurse who got fired because she wouldn't get vaccinated. So she made like a polemic about it and put it on Facebook. Like, I'm losing my rights. I can't do my job. I've worked for a year and a half without a vaccine and I didn't get it. Well, you got lucky, you know, because a lot of your colleagues died.
Yeah.
Many, many doctors have died. So, but they're using it again for that political gain. Like, it shouldn't be a question. You know, like, would you want a dentist who didn't wash his hands sticking his fingers in your mouth, you know?
You know, and that is cherry picking material, too, because anti-vaxxers now, they cherry pick that nurse and use her as an example of why you shouldn't get vaccinated, because this person within the medical community doesn't like it, so there must be something there.
Listen.
That's my point.
When we were kids, this is how much older we are than you, Noel. When we were kids, the dentist not only didn't wear gloves, but he had a butt going. He'd be like smoking a cigarette, sticking his stinky nicotine fingers in your mouth.
My dentist asked me if I wanted to drag.
Exactly. What's that?
When I first went to the dentist, they gave you mercury to play with.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not kidding. Like
that's
a
right.
thing of mercury to push
here,
around.
Like, here, play with this poison. Here, play with this poison. You know, it used to be you would go to a restaurant and they were chopping food with their big fat deli fingers, touching your food. They don't do that anymore. Why these people have forgotten that there's an evolution of hygiene, especially in a pandemic, you'd think it would be like I say, table stakes. If I'm a nurse, a doctor, if I'm working in a hospital, whatever it is, I can't get people sicker.
Absolutely. And the fact that, you know, the COVID-19 got such a toehold on the world, you know, on the global health of the world. What people are failing to understand is that it'll continue to sort of mutate now. That's how you get Delta. That's how you get all these other variants. So just because we sort of not beat, but got a handle on this first wave, what it means is there's going to be continual waves.
Yeah.
You know, COVID was a SARS virus, of which there's been many, and there's going to be many more. So we have to change the way we approach public health. It's just a fact of life, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? Getting back to the statistics, it's such, I don't know if it's karma or irony, but we're up over 4,000 cases again now in Canada, and clearly over 90% of those or more are people that haven't been vaccinated. And I don't know if you saw that guy, I tweeted it up a couple weeks ago, the guy in the States who's saying, you know, his wife couldn't get treatment because the hospitals are filled with COVID patients. He said, listen, if you don't believe in the vaccine, stay the fuck out of hospitals then. Okay? Don't come here when you get sick from not taking the vaccine.
Exactly.
All right, listen, my brother. What's that, pal?
Yeah, all of a sudden they want science when they get sick, right?
Noel Castler's Unverified Tour. I guess we'll talk to you maybe once before September 16th, but it's coming, my friend. Oh, that day is coming. If you miss it, you can find him at Norwalk, Connecticut on November 18th. Follow him, as we all do, on Twitter. It really is an entertaining... I got to be honest with you, I've told you before, I love the car rants. I dig those. You're doing great. Getting better and better. And always a pleasure to hang, my friend.
Always fun, guys. I'm glad you're back. I hope you had a great vacation, but I'm looking forward to many shows. This is the best show in the morning anybody could watch. So
thanks.
In,
hey,
man.
Wow.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Cole. Appreciate it.
Got it. I'm gonna go feed the cattle now, Hoss.
All right, Cole. Yeah. That's my boy. There he is, Noel Castler, at Noel Castler. Check him out on Twitter. Take care, friend.
Bye, guys.
You know, Howard.
Yes, I do know, Howard.
You talk about, you know, this ramping up and the cases increasing and where we're going with this. The Argonauts were supposed to be in Edmonton on Thursday night. The game has been called off because so many players on the Elks have tested positive. So there, here we are in Canada, a professional sporting event in August of 2021 called off because of COVID. We thought that was behind us.
Yeah, the thing about calling off a CFL team, though, it's easy because all you have to do is tell the players. No, don't tell, you know, a CFL game, because, you know, there's not that many fans. You have to get my bit.
Oh, Howard.
See the bit I'm doing now?
Oh, Howard. Yeah, it's in Edmonton. They actually like it out there.
I know they do. Listen, if they like it anywhere, they like it out there. Fred, I'm trying to find a government thing. Can you do it right now while I...
Yes, Howard.
Can you please? Because you've done everything else, haven't you? Except the chamber plan?
No, chamber's plan.
Okay, well,
every day.
Just hold off on that.
On what?
On the chamber plan.
Oh. Okay, every day more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians. Do your part. Hear that? Do your part.
Yeah.
Get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine. Paid for by the government of Ontario.
I know a lot of people hear this show and they're like, wow, man, they got a lot of cool sponsors. I wonder if Humble and Fred have anyone that specializes in providing accurate, reliable utility information and professional insight to help infrastructure project owners. Well, as a matter of fact, we do. T2 Utility Engineers specializes in services to reduce the risk of existing underground and above ground utilities on infrastructure's construction projects. Dan, did you hear that? Did that?
Yes.
did that sentence give you a warm one?
Yeah.
T2 Utility Engineers provide accurate, reliable utility information and years of experienced insight to help clients reduce risk and avoid costly problems and safety issues during construction. Look them up. They've been leading the subsurface utility engineering industry, supporting big projects like the light rail systems across Canada. They've been doing that since 2002. And the website T2UE.com. We manage and mitigate utility risk. There you go. Huh? How's that for a grown-up client?
That's a lot of stuff going on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big, huge deal. It's to, you know, manage large utility type yeah. stuff.
Well, sure. Don't you have a lot of experience managing large utilities? I thought that was appropriate.
Here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes as for credentials he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
Well, I'm sorry, Fred, what were you going to say?
There once was a woman from Nantucket.
Ah.
When it came to Dan's wang, she said, I can't.
And once... There once was a Dan from Nantucket whose wang was so long he couldn't tuck it. Or something.
Today is National Waffle Day.
Whose wang was so long he could suck it.
Oh, yes.
All right. Sorry.
Oh, yes.
Dan. Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, Dan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now from the newsroom of Humble and Fred Radio, Dockside, everyone. Beautiful vistas of the North Country. Here is Dan Duran.
Today is National Waffle Day. To celebrate, go ahead, waffle. Now, in a week when anti-vaxxers won't get a vaccine because they don't trust medical science, but it's okay to use horse deworming medicine to fight COVID. Yes, it's the same week that Trump lost control of his Trumpians. At a rally on the weekend, Trump told people the vaccine works, and he got the vaccine. And that was received with boos. You know, like the boo kind.
Oh, no,
like,
no, we know. Boo. We've been talking about it. It's crazy.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
And did you know that InfoWars jackass Alex Jones then later pushed his voice nodules to say, "We like you, but my God, maybe you're not that bright. Maybe Trump's actually a dumbass."
He actually said that?
Yes.
Oh, good for him.
And, you know, on that point, I kind of agree with Alex Jones. You don't hear that very often.
No.
I love, you know, that Alex Jones actually has Chris Skye in his show, and Chris Skye acts like that's some kind of badge of honor.
Oh, I know.
Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, we really are living in some upside down times.
Yeah.
Another guy on that InfoWars network had to turn himself into police yesterday because of the January 6th riot on the hill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean the tourist when they just had a bunch of tourists?
Yeah, that guy.
That
yeah. one of those tourists.
Yeah. Dan Duran, do you have any other stories for us?
Yes, of course. We've been monitoring the Arizona Senate sponsored fraud of 2020, and mm-hmm. yesterday there was supposed to be a big, huge release. You know, that team from Cyber Ninjas, the company that the mm-hmm. state Republicans put into place, and they have no experience in elections or auditing thereof. It was supposed to submit its long-awaited draft report yesterday. Instead, they got COVID.
Yeah.
Three out of five of the people who were, including the Cyber Ninja CEO, ended up with COVID, and so they had to push that long-awaited report down the road.
Mm-hmm. Something I was going to say about that, the audit. Oh, yeah, the Mike Lindell. I saw some video of him yesterday. You know, he had this symposium where he was going to prove the fraud. He couldn't do it because the person in charge of proving it said, we can't prove it. Now his thing is we have to melt down all the smart tech and Dominion machines into jail cell bars because all those people need to go to jail. But that's his new line. Melt down the machines and make them into, you know, jail bars.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you think if they came out with a vaccine that prevented you from getting cancer, these people would resist it as well?
Now, great, they came great out with question. A
vaccine, they said, take this vaccine. Chances, you know, 95% you're not going to get cancer. Would they take it? I wonder.
A year ago, probably, but not now.
Yeah. Well, because they've bought in so much.
Well, yeah. And listen, yeah. We all know a few people that are anti-vaxxers. And as my older brother has said, it is it's beyond whether, you know, it's become almost tribalism. It's beyond whether
yes.
you mm-hmm. believe or not anymore. It's like you have taken this stand and now this you've identified this as who I am is this person. Mm-hmm. I'm woke. They say you're not. You're sheeple. Yeah. Anyway,
interesting, Fred. You bring that up though, because there would be a percentage of people that may be able to disassociate the vaccine part of it to the. So it's more about the COVID because COVID isn't real,
right?
Where cancer is, mm-hmm. so they may be able to move away from it in that good kind point. Of way.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know anyone. That doesn't think it's real. If you do, I don't know. I would find that hard to have any normal conversation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But hey, listen, we're all struggling with stuff that no one else can understand. Dan, we got to get going because our friend Tim Daniels is checking in here momentarily from. Why isn't this playing? Oh, there's Dan's news. Dan Duran will be back tomorrow. Okay. Dan's news is a presentation of Dan Duran Industries.
Should get a mouse. Really would help you there, I think.
You should chat.
You know what I found on my mouse? On my mouse this morning? I found a new button.
No more.
I found a new button.
No time for mouse talk.
Okay,
all
bye.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
Oh, there's my dog. Oh, there's my dog barking.
Look what I have, Howard.
Yeah, you have a mouse.
It does. It really simplifies everything.
Oh, I bet it does. Yeah.
You anti-mouser.
I'm an anti-mouser. Oh, there we go. Bye. Thank you. Dan's going to, or Stan's going to daycare. Tim Daniels is here. He's hanging out in Florence, Italy, because he is cooler than you. You know, I was at a lake the last week, as you know, Timmy, and I don't normally, every day, of course, I check my sleep. There were a couple days, Fredzie. I had 8.5. I had 8.5 hours of sleep, and I didn't know who I was.
Oh, you're a layabout, Howard. A layabout.
Mm-hmm. What are you, Daniels? You've got like 9 companies. Your, you know, Health Gauge is just one of them. But what time do you? How many hours of sleep do you make yourself get?
Yeah, unfortunately, and you know, this is one area where I fall way short. My average night is about 5.5 hours. And it's because, you know, my North American workday usually doesn't end until about 11 o'clock at night. And my time, which is, you know, mid-afternoon and back in North America. And then by the time I, you know, watch a little news, have a snack or whatever and get to bed, it's well after midnight and I'm up by 5:30 in the morning. So
even of that 5.5 hours, you're not asleep the whole 5.5 hours either. So the actual sleep time would be less.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You can function on that 5-6 days a week.
You know, I've kind of grown accustomed to it.
Yeah, right.
For me, the sweet spot is about 7 hours. If I can get that, I'm golden. But it just doesn't happen anymore. I just, you know, always one thing or another. And as soon as I wake up, you know, the head's right into whatever I've got to get done that day. And so it just, unfortunately, I know everything you read about, you know, good health protocols includes, you know, a solid 7-8 hours a night. And I'm just... Mm-hmm. That's one area where I absolutely fall short.
For years, I was in the 5.5, maybe 6, because we got I used to get up at 3:30 in the morning to go to work every day, 3:30, 3:45. And it disrupt. Well, and we both, Fred and I both did it for a large portion of our adult lives, like 30 plus years, where you go to bed. You know, I could never get to sleep before 10 and rarely would sleep right till, you know, 3:30. And since we've started doing the show in this version 10 years ago, you know, we get a little bit more. We're never getting up at 3:45 again to do our job. But it does take its toll on your ability to stay asleep. But guys like you, guys like you are sort of legendary in terms of their lack of sleep. And I was going to say one of Tim's companies isn't the mining company based in Victoria or Vancouver.
Yeah. That's right.
So you're dealing with them. So even further, it's 9 hours difference.
That's right. So I've got consultants that work for me in Australia at one end of the world, and I've got my headquarters in Victoria on the other end of the world. And so every time, you know, it doesn't matter what time of the day or night it is, somebody somewhere in the world is trying to reach me over something.
Right.
So it's just the way it is. So I've really grown accustomed to and grabbing some sleep when I can and learning to do with less, which, you know, like I said, the health experts say that's not great. And this really, you know, helps out with respect to understanding of that 5.5 hours sleep. How many of it is really restful? Like you said, Fred, it's not like just because you're laying down for 5 hours or 5.5 or 7 hours that it's all, you know, a deep, restful, recuperative sleep. Mm-hmm. It's not. You know, there's you know, a good portion of it that you're tossing and turning and this gives you, you know, some feedback on that, but you know, what you're doing well, what you can improve upon, and look at some little life hacks to, you know, to improve your sleep pattern.
One of the things that I'm never sure of, and I don't know if this is typical of me or just the way most people's sleep is, because I had a pretty good sleep last night, but it's never the proportion of deep sleep to light sleep is always way off. Like, is that what it's like for you, Fred? It's like last night I had 1.9 of deep and 5.1 of light. It's never, my deep sleep cycle is always sort of pretty short.
But I looked into that, remember? And you should run about 25% deep.
Oh, okay. So that's what, it's a typical night.
Yeah, you're sort of on track. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's, I was going to say, Howard, that's about the best I get as well, is, mm-hmm. you know, 20-25% deep sleep. And the rest, there's either, you know, a cat jumping on my head or getting up in the middle of the night to pee once again. Yeah. And, you know, so it's definitely not, I've never come close to half the night deep sleep.
I have a health gauge. By the way, we're talking to Tim Daniels, a health gauge, just because he lives in Florence and he's cooler than everybody. He's still a regular guy. We know each other because he grew up in Moose Jaw, but look how well he's done. I have a health gauge story. So I was at the lake and we're staying in this really nice cottage, but it's real. And at night at the cottage, of course, it's super dark. And I had to get up, go to the washroom, and I didn't know where the light was, and I didn't want to disturb Rachel. It's a true story. So I turned my watch on as a beam. I did. I felt
there
like
you go.
I felt like Batman. I was like, oh shit, I can find my way to the can now using the light from my health gauge. You can
It's kind of a, you know, a fun use of it, because, you know, Fred, you pointed out one of the, you know, real important and serious uses where, you know, the unit's giving you some immediate feedback and helps you do something in that moment to address something going on. You were talking about, you're on the golf course, it was a hot day, mm-hmm. you're feeling a little overheated, you know, you checked, your blood pressure was up, your temperature was up, so you did the wise thing, you know, you sat out a hole and, you know, got things under control. And that's exactly what, you know, the watch is made to do. But here's kind of a fun thing. On the weekend, I went up into northern Italy to a place called Trentino, and it's up in the mountains, and it's famous for the paragliding, hang gliding, that sort of thing. And I took paragliding course for the weekend, and really a lot of fun. I just love it. I really get hooked on that.
Is there an engine on that? Okay, go ahead.
No, it's not. It's like the big wing and you're free flying down the mountain. No. And as I was waiting for my instructor to join me at the top of the gondola, I felt relaxed. I didn't think that, you know, I didn't feel stressed out, but I thought, let's see if my body and my mind are in sync, because mentally I was, this is going to be fun. I'm relaxed. I'm looking forward to it. But how does my body feel about this experience? So check the health gauge to see, you know, where my body readings were at, just to see if they were in sync with my mind. And they were. My heart rate was like 55. My blood pressure was 105, 170.
Was this your first time doing it?
Yeah, this is my first time doing it.
So you do a tandem jump with an instructor?
Exactly. Yeah.
How was it?
I fell in love with it. I could get hooked on that so easily. Really,
because I don't know if that were me, Fred, I'd have to check to see if the health gauge had a thing where it said you're shitting your pants right now. You are. It seems the watch is like, it seems you're shitting your pants.
Well, I did notice, though, that when we touched down at the ground way down the valley, you know, a couple thousand meters below where we started, you know, I looked again just to see what my heart rate was. And it was about, I think, 74 or something.
Oh, which please.
For me means obviously got a little bit anxious.
Sure.
Tim, the trip down, so. Tim, before you, like, sign up and bark, do you Do you check out the probability of you know, accidents and something like that? Because
And it was funny you bring that up, because it was as we were sitting down having a beer after the fact, one of my friends was saying, did you know that yesterday when we were supposed to go up and my instructor bailed because he said, the conditions aren't quite right. Mm-hmm. There was a crash the day before. There was a girl, 13-year-old girl with an instructor, and they didn't work out so well for them. And then I was starting to read all the accidents that have been for the last, you know, year or two. I said, holy shit, what am I doing now? And you know, before the fact.
Can you just do us a favor until this sponsorship thing runs its course? Can you just, you know, be careful? Tim Daniels wants you to get a watch, healthgage.com. Put in the promo code HumbleFred, HG, and that gets you 15 points off the Health Gauge Phoenix, which we're all wearing. Tim Daniels, until next time, my friend. Stay safe.
Thanks,
and well.
Bud.
Thank you, my brother.
Good seeing you guys.
There he is.
Take
that guy's there's a guy living life. I love the fact that his heart rate only went up to 74. My heart rate's at 74 just listening to him talk about it.
Hey, when I was in my fourth McDonald's the other night, my watch started to vibrate.
I can't wait till tomorrow and you tell us why you had to go to four McDonald's. Hey, I finally got the government in front of me. Ontario's... You still have a chamber plant, so I'll do it in a second. Ontario, a COVID-19 vaccine plan is helping to stop a spread, saving lives. You know, come on. Until we're all vaccinated, we need to stay the course, wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your distance. We've come so far, and thousands of people across Ontario are getting vaccinated every day. Your turn is coming. Visit Ontario.ca COVID vaccine plan or call 1-888-999-6488 for assistance in 300 languages. Paid for by the Government of Ontario, Freddie.
Yes, it's the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Chambers Plan is Canada's leading group benefit plan for small businesses, say 1 to 100 employees. You can get a free quote today. Oh, yes, you can. Go to chamberplan.ca. It's right there, the badge. Get a free quote. And while you're there, read some of the testimonials. Outstanding. All these small businesses who never dreamed that they could have or be part of a benefits package, and they are. And what it's done for their employees. I mean, it lifts the spirits of everyone involved. It really does. Okay, they've been around for 40 years. 30,000 Canadian businesses are part of this. It really is simple to sign up, the smart thing to do, and it's stable. Yeah, 40 years. Figure it out. The Chamber Plan, chamberplan.ca.
All right, tomorrow we'll talk about you melting down at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I will say that for the most part, I had a pretty incident-free cottage experience. I mean, there was like maybe one little couple of seconds, you know, where I'll just give you a little hint. I don't like board games. I don't like them. I don't like, don't.
So you flipped it over because you were losing?
No, just relax. Okay.
All right.
Mr. Stare at the wall. Excuse me. You know, I could come back from McDonald's and not have to stare at the wall for 20 minutes to get my equilibrium back.
You're a better man than I, because I did.
No. Anyway, that's tomorrow's show. Also on the program, I'm not sure when we're going to see Phil again, but this will be good. The return of Richard Krause and Stu Stone later on the week, I should say. He's coming back to our program. Stay safe. Get vaccinated, everybody. See you tomorrow.